But if you ever do, I'd like you to convey to him my proudness of coming here. Well, I said, let me tell you for the president, he'd probably be as proud as you and more, that you're a man of a foreign country, and we have some of our own American drawing out and ducking. Well, here's what he said to me that he wanted me to convey to you, which is, I called my father this afternoon in London, and I told him that we were being honored here, we're going to have this dinner. And he's my father, and he said, that's why I come up to you, because I'd like to do what my father would like me to, at least try. My father said, if you have an opportunity to convey to the President of the United States, my friend, I wish you would. Although I'm an English subject living in England, I think that he's one of the greatest men for freedom and peace in the world. I think what he's done has been wonderful, and we're with him 100%, and I'm proud that my son served for him and risked his life, because with this man is doing more than maybe people realize for all the world, including England. And so would you, if an opportunity conveyed it, I'm glad I had an opportunity to tell you this. I
thought that very nice. Well, that's about the nicest thing that's going to happen today.
Well, I thought after all the criticism of the draft dodge, it's nice to have this, and well, I'm a little bit embarrassed to be an Irishman and have the same Englishman, did it?
Well, you know, I'll say,
their feeling and what they went through, and not, I'm sorry they went through it, but the fact that I tell them about this torture now has proven that everything you've said and we've said, it proves to be right. I wish
it could have changed my Ramsey
somebody.
What's his name?
Yeah.
Well, I'll see you.
Well, we're going to make arrangements for Monday then.
Oh, yeah, Monday, you can come in. I'll go.
I'll set that up.
Come over here about 10 minutes before, and and 10 minutes before the hour, and then we don't need to take 10 minutes, we'll ride over together.
Okay, Mr.
President. Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
You sure?
All right. Some other items.
I don't want to take too much of your time.
All right.
Talk with George Bush about Governor Cahill, and he thought that I ought to go through that with you, because that's represented some follow-up to the meeting we had the previous week. The governor, he has some more legal problems up there. He's got a case involving campaign contributions and some devious things that were done with the contributions to avoid the payment of taxes. That's right, by
him.
No, it's not by him, but it was by his campaign manager. And he asked us to intervene with the U.S. attorney up there, and at least if we couldn't stop the whole thing, which was going to lead to a grand jury hearing, to ask him to hold off until after the primary. And I looked into it, and there were too many people involved in the thing. It leaked out in the paper anyway, but I had to tell him we just couldn't do anything to help him out. And George Bush and I talked about it, and
George agreed.
Yes, sir, he sure did. He was vehement.
Yeah. We just can't bring the position, or Cahill's got to know this. He's a former, he's a lawyer, and a guy who tried to screw around with the grand jury and did a good job.
Well, there was just no way to help him out. And I'm not so sure how understanding of all of that he is, and he may at some time, if he sees you, mention all that, but he should be apprised of it. The other thing that you've been mentioning a number of times, the veterans legislation, I just thought I would catch up on that. We've been, after the meeting with Dorn, have worked pretty closely with him, and the three problem bills that he had, one on the veteran cemeteries, we've got cleaned up so that if we can hold that position through the conference, you'll be able to sign that bill. The drug bill, we have got bottled up in the House, and that won't come out at all this year, and we think that by working with the AMA and by working with people on the committee, in addition to Chairman Dorn, that we've probably got the Veterans Medical Act in a position where if it gets to you at all, it'll be one you can sign. So we're not going to let you get in a position of having to veto one of those bills. The Older Americans Act, we think we can work that out with Quay.
That's great.
The issue there is...
The thing that I was... you were there, right?
Yes, sir.
The thing I wanted to... I would like to do... You know, they were... Our fault is that he will stand up and fight all these vetoes, but they said that... as one of the Democrats said, we shouldn't have this confrontation. Let's try to cooperate. Well, now, I'm all for cooperation if we don't capitulate, you know what I mean? And, you know, and the symbolic winning of these first two is so important. That's winning.
We are trying to do that. Bill Timmons and I have talked about some kind of overt move on your part to say, come on, let's work out some of these things. And I'm afraid in doing that at this particular point in time, you would wind up trading away 90% of your principles just to be able to work with the Congress.
No, sir. We're not going to do that.
It's much better to work behind the
scenes. Individually or behind the scenes. Absolutely. You're right about that. I don't want to indicate that we're going to be, let the Congress come to us on this. It's just
about
to win one. We won a couple of them. And how do you figure the...
Well, I was going to mention that one of the concerns that the Secretary had, although he didn't mention it, is this Public Employment Act, or the Emergency Employment Act. The Congress is going to move ahead with that. They have, the Senate yesterday, the committee reported out a bill that's about, it authorizes or appropriates over $1 billion, $1.25 billion for next fiscal year, and unlimited sums for the year beyond that. The House has a bill that in total is $4.25 billion over a 3-year period. And I think
we have to veto that.
Well, I think we do, yes, sir. And I, in the committee now, before it gets to the floor, we'd like to be in the position of indicating that you would veto that bill.
We've got to, with the employment moving up like it is, it's silly.
The employment is good. The most concerned people are the labor people. They're always concerned about that. The mayors are concerned, but the mayors are concerned because they're losing some money to pay people that they really ought to be paying themselves anyway. And we have a good public argument.
You think we can sustain a veto?
Yes, sir. I think we can sustain any veto that we have to sustain, with the exception of a veterans veto. I think that would be very hard. But I think now
I will not veto veterans.
Well, I don't know.
It's a jackass, but total, you know.
Well, we're not going to get you in that kind of a position if we can help it at all. We've got very good support for the Urban Community Revenue Sharing Act, which will go to the Hill next Tuesday. And Jim Lynn's going to brief on that. He's doing a good job, but they briefed the Senate and House leaders on it yesterday. And he's got good bipartisan support on that. And that's going to relieve a lot of this pressure we've been getting about cutting back programs from the mayors and that kind of thing.
Because in other words, then we will have a program.
We will have a program.
Get that passed?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Based on the reports, I think we can get it passed. I think what's going to happen to us is on that they're going to tie it to a housing bill. And it may not be a housing bill that we want at this particular point in time. We're going to have to be very careful as to how that all works out.
How do you figure the economic stables? Are you in the middle right now?
I have been on the periphery. It's an awful thing because so much of it is what the public feels and what the public perceives, and they don't understand the technicality.
Well, they want to control the prices, and so the Congress is pandering to their views.
Now, the problem there is, in my judgment, once we get on that in any way that looks to be permanent, we'll never get wind from that again. Never. But
well, the thing I'm concerned about is that moving in the control area. Generates all the labor that's facing them. I mean, there is a real problem.
Right.
They are never going to stand still for it. You ought to enlist Brennan in that respect. Say, look, for God's sake, you know, these control bills are going to lead to confrontation with labor, and we ought to fight that. Don't you agree? Labor talks about freeze prices, but not wages. It can't be done. There ain't no way. The second thing that concerns me is it might make people feel good for a while, like a pep pill. There's going to be a hell of a letdown, and what we would do is destroy the boom.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and not work on the inflation. You see, we had the worst of both worlds. Today we've got an inflation with the boom. Well, that's a hell of a lot better than inflation.
Right.
Without a boom.
Which is what we had for a while.
That's right, which we had in the 70s, 71 period. And right now we've got a boom on, and I think we got to keep her going. And that, of course, will wash out some of the inflation.
Well, there is another bill up there that we would like to signal veto on, and that's the Emergency Medical Services Act. That's the bill that will provide helicopters for ambulance service and ambulances for cities that don't have sufficient facilities and that kind of thing. The problem with it is that nobody really knows what they're doing. They're talking about $250,000 a year, $250 million a year and it's just way over in terms of authorization. We have a test program, so we've got something, but the money's too much on this, so we...
We need to wait until the test program finishes, okay?
The only other thing is that the legal services corporation bill will go up next week, and...
I understand how he hopes, wants us to go further.
Well, he wants us to farm the whole thing out to the states.
And if that's stable, isn't it?
I don't think it'll fly at all. I've made a number of phone calls around on that thing, and it's a good idea because it lets you break your relationships with some of these bomb throwers who have been out there running these legal services programs. But there's no reason why we can't still sever those relationships with a national corporation, and it will, the state program will just buy you more trouble than it's worth in terms of selling it now and the public perception about your concern. And it won't get through the Congress. If it would get through the Congress, it might be worth trying, but it won't get through.
All right.
And,
Let's play it that way. Crane, some of the very, the doctrinaire conservative you were mentioning to me last night.
Well, yeah.
But that's sad. They can't have it their way all the way. Good God. We're gone very far with them already. And
we sure.
That's what this budget is about, and that's what OEO is about, and that's what's flushing a few other things. We fought this battle. I must say, though, that I feel that the rather dim, or shall we say pessimistic, prognosis we got from Scott and Ford about 2 months ago has been turned around, hasn't it?
Yes, sir. The psychology is terrible. Yes, sir, very much so. Well, I thought that this morning's news summary, I haven't seen a whole poll, had a recap of a Harris poll that indicates people's feeling about taxes. And I think a lot of people in the Congress are starting to see this. And, if we can now keep moving to solidify on these vetoes.
That's why I hit it so hard in my Vietnam speech. People hear it that way and they're not going to...
That's right. That's right.
You want higher prices and taxes, that's all right.
I can't find very many people for them, except maybe Senator Muskie. He seems to still be arguing
more taxing. Well, of course, the tax reform thing is the kick they're on. They think they can get all the money out of that. Incidentally, I want to be sure this is not your view, well, it is to an extent, but I hope to God we can keep the Congress from passing a tax reform bill that goes into that has a state tax, a capital gains on a state, you know, at that. That'd be terrible.
Well, I think
then also another thing is that they're holding up raising the capital gains tax from 35% to 50%, extending it to a year. Do you think that's going to go through the Congress?
That probably is more passable than the other one. I think it's hard to say. The key to it all is Wilbur Mills, I believe.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Flow through anymore.
No, you don't know what's going to happen on the floor, but maybe.
There's still some tricks you can pull up there, fortunately, so you don't get some of the bad stuff. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, we would have no problem really vetoing. No, yes, we would. If the tax bill has our aid to parochial schools in it, I'd have a hell of a time vetoing.
No, that's right. That would be very difficult.
That would really be a sugar in the end.
But the death tax business or the estate tax thing is something that, Secretary Brennan's constituency, they don't think about that, but if they did start to think about it, they'd realize that, you know, they work for 40 years, 50 years, they own a home, they try to build up a little in the savings account and what have you, that kind of thing is going to be lost to them if...
Even that? That's right. I hadn't thought of that.
Yes, sir.
Although they could have a very high exemption, I suppose.
Well, they could, but... In my judgment, that doesn't prevent us in the process of this business demagoguing along those lines a little bit.
Sure.
And that kind of pressure can help to keep that kind of bill from coming down. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Hope you're feeling better.
Yes, sir. I won't get them again.
It's rugged. They had childhood diseases when you're older. I had measles when I was about 40.